Welcome to the Message Podcast from Life in Christ Fellowship in beautiful Newport, Vermont. Today's message is brought to you by our special guest, Reverend Deanna L. Stevens from Whole Heart Believers Ministries. We hope that this message is encouraging to you and increases your faith in Christ. Enjoy.
I'm so happy to be here, and thank you for inviting me. It's a wonderful fellowship here. I think we had fun Friday night, did we, ladies? I hope we did. I'm so glad to see the Colburns and Brother Aaron. Brother Aaron, we were praying for you down south in the Northeast Kingdom. We were praying for you. God is faithful. God is faithful. My name's Deanna Stevens. I've been in this area, the Northeast Kingdom, for about 5 years. I was in Chesapeake, Virginia. Anybody know Chesapeake, Virginia? So my dad, I was a Marine brat. Anybody Marine Corps? Whoa, where? Oh, Semper Fi, God is good. So I was a Marine Corps brat. I love the Marine Corps, but my dad wouldn't let me go in. But that's another story. But the Lord in 2018, by way of the fold, sent me up here. I didn't know a soul. I had spoken to Laura, she was principal then, on the phone, but other than that, I was in my little U-Haul van, just driving and driving. I was like, I'm going to Vermont, Lord. I don't know anybody in Vermont. I don't have a cousin. I don't know anybody, but I had this peace that went beyond my understanding. And I've had that peace that this is where I'm to be for this season. My grandchildren are back in Chesapeake, my mother, who's 86, my daughters, their families, and my brother. But you know what? God had a reason for this season, no matter how hard it was. And I love what Aaron said during worship. You know, this is our Red Sea moment as the body of Christ. And that's so true. And what we have to remember is that people are watching us. People are watching us in this season. You know, when Daniel was sent to the, what? Lion's den. The king was watching. Other people were watching. And even though the king could not go back on his decree, and Daniel was sent to the lion's den, he couldn't hardly sleep the night before the king. And he got up and he ran hastily to the lion's den. He said, Daniel, oh, has your God that you trust in, has he delivered you? Woo-hoo! That's powerful to me, because the king was watching and Daniel stood firm, trusting the Lord, facing great danger that could take his life in a horrific way. And Daniel said, I am here. My God is faithful. How many of us know my God is faithful? God is faithful. Whether it's here on this earth we stay or whether we go home to heaven, he is faithful. He has prepared a place for those of us who say, I believe. I believe and I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the grave. That's how simple God makes it for each and every one of us. It doesn't matter if you're a murderer. Doesn't matter if you're a beloved saint. He makes it that easy for each and every one of us. And I don't know why I started with this other than the Lord's leading. But if you don't know Jesus as Lord, like I said Friday, people are leaving this earth quicker than we can blink an eye, young and old. So if you're watching online, if you're here in this room, if you have not really made a true commitment to the Lord, it's that simple. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. In the name of Jesus, and you shall be saved. Amen. The name of the ministry the Lord has given me stewardship over is Whole Heart Believer Ministries. Speaking to people, helping to encourage them to surrender their whole heart. their whole heart. Lori did a beautiful job with communion this morning, didn't she? And she had us check our hearts. Pastor Janet this morning also had us to check our hearts. Amen? Some of us have areas in our heart, and we talked about this Friday. I talk about this all the time, how Jesus stands at the door of our heart and he knocks. There's only one knob, a beautiful painting. There's only one knob on one side of the door. And we have to be the opener of that door, and we say, Jesus, come on in. But because of life circumstances, because of experiences, because of shame and guilt, because of hurt and disappointment and doubt, we've created these little rooms in our heart. And even though we've opened that big door, the doors to those rooms are closed and locked. And we say, Jesus, you can't come in here. I've lost my trust. I'm too ashamed. No matter what the reason is, I encourage everyone, open all the doors right now. Take a moment and identify what that area is. If it's anxiety, if it's depression, if it's pornography, if it's shame, if it's anger, if it's hurt or doubt, picture that room now, that door. Open that door and let the light of Jesus come in and just say hallelujah. Light that room up with a hallelujah, just like the song, Come On My Soul. Come on, my soul. Come on, my soul. The very breath, the vitality God's given us. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's nothing we have to be ashamed of, that we have to embrace that shame. We can feel bad and remorse and conviction over things we've done or things we do that are wrong, but we do not have to be condemned. And when we surrender it, when we open that door and ask the light of Jesus to come in, that shame lifts, because he's going to lead us step by step into a new way, into a place of joy and peace. Amen? Amen. Let that hallelujah ring forth in the name of Jesus. Usually I don't have any problem with writing notes or anything like that, but God just directs and I let him direct, and that's good. Amen? But today we're going to go to Luke chapter 1. Lord, I ask that you guide and direct this time together, that you open us our hearts to hear what you would have us to hear and to do what you would have us to do, Lord. Father, we thank you that your word shall not return void. And we thank you for all that you've already given us, Lord. There is nothing else left that we need to be victorious in this life. We thank you, Lord. In Christ alone, we are set free. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we're about to enter the Christmas season, the celebration of who? Jesus, the birth of Christ. That's a time to rejoice. Celebrate in the Hebrew is Hagag, to prepare, keep, or observe, the Magnificat. We're here to prepare our hearts to celebrate Jesus, the Savior of the world. And a lot of times we get excited about Christmas and the season, but we don't properly prepare all the time. And God wants our hearts to be properly prepared to receive all that he has for us in this season, to rejoice, and proclaim. Amen? Let's go to verse, let's see. We'll start at verse 46. Thank you, Lord. I'm reading from the NASB. Thank you, Lord. And Mary said, My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Verse 50, and his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months. Her is Elizabeth, her cousin. And then returned to her home. We often talk about Mary as a young maiden and the hard time that she must have gone through being selected to carry the baby Jesus, and she wasn't even married yet. But you know, I believe that when God calls us to do something, there is a layer of protection around us, even when we're going through hard times. But I don't think we've learned how to embrace that, how to rest in the Lord, how to really trust him and know that he is with us. I think when the wave of hard times come upon us, we kind of let them take us over and we kind of sink down. And then we're crossing the line of defeat. But if we would just stay focused in our heart, at the heart level, in our mind, in our habits, in our motivations, God will keep us stayed on him. I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me. Not on the problem, not on the situation, not on the people. How many of us know it's hard to keep our minds off the people involved in situations? It's hard. It's a fight of the flesh. And a lot of times we want to blame, well, it's so-and-so's fault. If they hadn't done that, or we do it in some other form. That's human, right? I don't feel so funny today. I don't know why. In some form. But if we would stop that, and we stop that by practicing purpose, be intentional. The next time a negative or bad situation comes up, especially with those within our home, our family members, those who we love the most, purpose to say, you know what? I fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This situation is only trying to distract me from what God has already given me. And he's given me the power and the authority to be bigger than this situation, to conquer this situation. If we would just take the time to practice, you know, my wife Sue just irritates me. Every time she does that, I get upset. I wish she'd go out somewhere. We know. Come on, y'all. Don't act like you don't know. And why doesn't Herb close those cabinet doors in the kitchen? He's always leaving them open. I don't understand that. That little grumbling builds up. It builds up. Oh, the lights. Okay. Yeah. Could you cut the light switch off? Thank you, James. Those are the little foxtails that get in our heart and start to build up calluses toward our loved ones. And we can tell because divorce rates are sky high. But if we would take that, the next time you see the light switch on or the cabinet door open, or you're just kind of irritated. Lord, help me to love my beloved. Help me to love my coworker. I remember one time I was at the computer at work in Florida at the counseling center. And I have misophonia, where certain noises will just shoot a ping to my head. And she came right in my ear, crunching potato chips. And I thought I was going to go to jail. I wanted to turn around and just, I just started praying. I was like, Lord, please help me to love in her name. I won't say her name. Help me to love her. And so I went home, driving home, and I continued that prayer. Lord, help me to love her. Because she just didn't know. She didn't know certain professionalisms within the office. But thank God she was there, you know, to learn. And so I was able to speak to her. But before that, God dealt with my heart. And I was able to not be irritated with her in little habits. And that's a good thing, especially as we heard about unity this morning. The unity of the body of Christ is everything, and it begins in our homes. It begins in our places, our spaces, where we're regularly present at work and everything. What is that? What part of your heart has that grumbling and complaining towards the loved one, towards a coworker, towards a neighbor? I want you to just capture it and give it a big shout of hallelujah in your heart. Blast it out and say, Jesus, please come in there. Please come in there. And you know what? It benefits you so greatly. It benefits you so greatly when you can let it go. Even when someone has something against you, you're not held captive by that offense. So picture that place of irritation and let it go. Thank you, Lord. Mary could have been irritated at the task given to her. But what does she say? And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord. My very breath exalts the Lord. In the Greek, it's psuche. My breath, my soul exalts the Lord. She could have been in great fear. Of course, she was afraid when the big angel came before her. But it seems like that dissipated as she did what? She listened. She listened. How do we listen to the Lord? Do we just dismiss it? Do we walk off with our haughty pride in our heart and I'm not going to do that? No, this is what I think. This is the right way. I was in class one time and the professor was teaching and there was a pastor in the class and he raised his hand and he started with, well, I think. And the professor cut him off and said, who cares what you think? What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? And that should be our first. We've had a lot of confusion in this time. Confusion with COVID and everything. And as believers, we have not been quick enough to go to the Lord. We haven't been quick enough to go to His Word. I know you all are saints, and you were. I'm just talking to other people. Go tell them. We've got to be quicker to go to the Word of God. Well, it doesn't have everything in there. Ooh. When you read it, Holy Spirit, please give me the full revelation that I need in this situation from the Word of God. Simple prayer, just like that. The Holy Spirit is what? Our teacher, right? Yes. Our guide. Okay? Go to the teacher. Jesus said, I leave with you another. He hasn't left us toolless, helpless. We have to make it a habit to go to the Word of God, to go to God in prayer. I shared Friday how I've been hearing Christians lately saying, it's too much scripture. I'm like, what? Too much scripture, too much prayer. And in one hand, I get that. Let me explain. Because a lot of times, we read God's word like it's a Snickers bar. You know how you grab a Snickers bar? I don't anymore, but you know how you grab a Snickers bar and you just kind of wolf it down, especially if you're hungry? But if you paid for a ticket to fly over to Paris, anybody been to Paris? And you find a fine French restaurant and you get a fine dessert, you're not going to wolf it down. You're going to do what? You're going to take a little bite at a time. Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's so good. Oh, do you taste the richness? You're going to let it hit your palate. You're going to take your time with it, right? Same thing with the Word of God. Don't read the Word of God like it's a Snickers bar. Take your time and digest it little by little, like it's a fine dessert from heaven, because it is. And hear what God is really saying. God loves you. God loves each and every one of us. There is nothing on this earth we can say or ever do that will separate us from his love. We can turn away. We can reject, but he still loves us. We're still precious to him. Be encouraged by that, because the enemy's trying to convince people that they're no good. There's no way God will ever love you. That's a lie. And you have the power, each of us has the power and choice to believe the truth or a lie. Amen? So Mary, from her breath, from her suitcase, from her soul, she says, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Not round and about, but in. That's another piece we're missing as the body of Christ. Bear with me now. It is so wonderful. I love the way this fellowship of believers at Life in Christ come together with their gifts and their talents and their love for the Lord. But if they're just doing it just because it's a good thing to do, or because I was raised that way, or because I want to please Pastor Janet and Brother Allen, that's not being in God, my Savior. It has to come from that solid core place of the heart. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right way, and everything else will be added. But the body of Christ, the churches, a lot are missing that in part, to be in Christ, to do things from a core place in the heart, to say, I'm doing this because I heard the Lord direct me to do this. And sometimes we hear it, but we don't go do it. God is patient, but don't let time run out and you have regret. You see, the heart, the lebab, the cardia in the Greek, is the seat of who we are. It's the seat of who we are. You're sitting in chairs. This is the best example I can think of right now. What would happen if there was no seat to the chair? What would happen? I like audience participation. Let's go. Yeah, you'd fall. There'd be no stability. If your heart is not protected, is not stewarded properly, you're going to fall. There will be no stability. You'll be driven to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And I'm not drinking Kool-Aid for nobody. So we have to guard our hearts properly, and we want to make sure that we are in God, our Savior, by simply what we talked about, his word, and checking our hearts. Seek ye first. Lord, I'm seeking you first. Is this where I'm supposed to be? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Help me not to grumble and complain. Reveal the truth of your word to me. Help me, Lord. And then trust him to lead and guide. Rejoice. Rejoice in verse 47. It is an exceedingly great rejoicing. Every time you see rejoicing in the scriptures does not mean exceedingly great rejoicing. There are other forms that mean a quiet rejoicing, a peaceful. Example, when Paul was in prison and he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That was a different type of rejoicing, but this rejoicing, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior, to jump for joy, to be exceedingly glad. The new, the reinstated deacons, to be exceedingly glad that God has called you into this season. God called Mary into a season where she had to walk through water. She wasn't clear about where they would lead her. But we're to be exceedingly glad that God has called you in this time and rejoice exuberantly. When God calls each of you, when God calls you to serve your spouse, to serve your family member, your neighbor, your coworker, we're to be exceedingly glad. We give you glory. Amen? Can I hear a little bit louder? Amen? Amen. For he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. All generations will count me blessed. Here's the thing about this blessed in verse 48. Everybody have that? In the Greek, it's not just, oh, I'm blessed. Whoa, Mary is blessed. She was called to be the mother of Jesus. She's blessed. This particular blessed actually means indwelt by God and to be fully satisfied. Indwelt by God and to be fully satisfied. That's blessed. It's not just happy. Lord, bless me. Let me be indwelt by you and fully satisfied. Amen. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Do we count God's name holy? Do we count Jesus' name holy? We're to be in awe of the name Yeshua, Jesus, God, Abba Father, Yahweh. We're to be in awe. Again, at that heart level. Are we in awe? Or is it just a name that we've used religiously, traditionally? Check your heart. Only you and God know. Amen? Thank you, Lord. And his mercy is upon generation, verse 50. After generation. See, we want generational blessings to flow down from us. Not the baggage, not the burdens. So we're all in a very privileged place right now because we can choose to go to those dark places in our heart and surrender them so that our children our nieces and nephews, whoever can say, you know, I see a change in Aunt Deanna or Nandy. My grandkids call me Nandy. I see a change, or she's not like this, or he's not like that, whoever they're talking about, grandpa, uncle. And his mercy is upon generation after generation. So we have the power and the choice to leave powerful legacies for our families. In the counseling office, I often see, well, my mom had this, you know, I had this, and then I found out my grandmom had it. It shouldn't be like that. We need to work out our junk because he has prepared blessings for us. Mercy in this verse is compassion, salvation from sin. God has already given it to us. Compassion, salvation from sin through Jesus Christ. We can't do it on our own. We can put a Band-Aid on it, but we can't completely extract it, deliver. I know there's some powerful testimonies in this room, and I wish I could hear them all. I know you all know that God has great compassion for us. He wants us delivered from our sins, and he's made the way through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Arising from reconciliation with God, we must be reconciled with God. This is for those that are in awe of him, that fear him. He has done mighty deeds, verse 51, with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. Men look at the outside, but God looks at the heart. That arrogance, haughty, one who actually hates God because they're holding on to their pride. Pride is taking anything that exalts itself over what God says and has established. So whether you think too much of yourself or you think too little of yourself, it's a form of pride. And that's where we have to humble ourselves. He gives us plenty of scripture. Fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are your works, O Lord. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I am a lively stone. I am redeemed. I am restored. I am loved. I am forgiven. Not only am I restored, I have the power to restore others. So how many people do you think saw Mary's predicament and maybe were like, oh my goodness, I thought Mary was so pure. I thought Mary was this, that, and Jesus. Stop it. Stop it. And we have to stop each other. Because sometimes we start out conversations innocently, but then the Holy Spirit's going, oh. And we're like, but just this one thing. I just got one more thing. I think they really should know this. And he's saying, nope, stop. I got it. Give it to me. I got it. I used to hate when people say, oh, Jim's never going to change. And I'm like, that is just so gross to me. That's just, how dare you? How can you even think that or say that, entertain it? If God can take coal and make a diamond, if God can take sand and make a pearl, a worm and make a beautiful butterfly, he can't help Jim. I hope no one in here is named Jim. But, oh, okay.
And the other one is hunting.
Okay. If God can do that for those objects, those insects, surely he'll do it for us if we would just surrender See, Mary had to have that complete surrender as she prepared to carry and give birth to the Savior of the world. We must prepare. Let's keep each other in check. I do not get offended when someone says, you know, I noticed, you know, this might be a problem for you. It's okay. Come and tell me. I'd rather you tell me than not say anything. And then from there, I have a relationship with the Father. I could say, you know, Sister so-and-so told me this. Lord, can you clarify for me? Or sometimes it's like, yeah, I did that. No fear. No fear. Verse 52, he has exalted those who were humble. I'm sorry, he has brought down, I skipped. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. What are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? Are you hungry for the word of God? Are you hungry for his goodness, his righteousness? See, Mary was hungry for the things of God, that she was willing to humble herself enough to go through. She said, let it be unto me as you have spoken. She said to the angel, Mary was hungry for the things of God. Are we hungry for the things of God, no matter what it is? Are we hungry enough to say, let it be as you have spoken? Not just the fun stuff, not just the interesting stuff, but anything he brings our way. The hard stuff. And as Pastor Janet reminded us, keep speaking to it. Whatever that hard thing is, the power of life and death is in the tongue. Speak to it until it goes. Friday night, I'll share this, when Pastor Janet and I were praying in the middle of prayer, I got attacked. I could not stand up after we had fellowship together. And I said to her, I said, I have to sit down. I'm about to faint. And I sat down and she was praying for me. And I walked out there. I had just finished teaching about speaking to it. But the enemy is a liar. I sat out there in the chair. I couldn't hardly hold my head up. My heart was doing something. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you must go. In the name of Jesus, you must go. I didn't know what was going on. I almost had to call for Laura. I always call Laura. And, and say, I might need an ambulance because I don't know what's going on. And I continued. I said, in the name of Jesus, you must go. You're not welcomed in my body. And after a few times, it left and I came back in. The enemy is sneaky. But God is greater. God is greater. And we as his church must walk in that, just like Mary did. And we're not exalting Mary. We're looking at her example, just like people are watching us. Like I said, speak to it. If you feel like you need to go to the doctor, that's fine. But keep speaking to it. In the name of Jesus. And it builds up this glow in you, the glow of the Holy Spirit, the fire. We had the Hanukkah, the menorah, the other night with the candles lit. That same white fire burning hot should be burning in us. That as his children, we are quick to understand what's going on. And we're able to speak to it correctly and directly. Sometimes we'll have to say, Lord, I don't know what's going on. But you do. Give me clarity of thought. Paint the dragon red. The enemy comes in. I think it was C.S. Lewis, like an invisible lion wreaking havoc in our lives. Lord, paint the dragon red. Let me see it clearly. Because I'm built up in your word. I'm built up in relationship. And I'm ready to slay the dragon. God is our dread champion. He never loses. He's given us everything we need to be the church that he's coming back for without spot or wrinkle. I hope every person in here signs up for the course Brother James is going to teach. We must have an answer for this world. If you get, and I won't name the religions, I'm not trying to cause trouble, but if you get people from some of the other religions and they know their stuff and they approach you, oh, I heard you're a Christian, and they can name off their stuff, and we're sitting there saying, Jesus loves me, this I know, that's not going to make it. We got to know our stuff. That course, you might see me in there. That course is going to arm us. It's going to equip us to truly show the love of Jesus. Because we're going to be able to say, he did this, the tone, like in the video. We're going to be able to say those things to perhaps touch people's hearts and minds with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Okay, we're almost done. 54. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. And then it goes on to say Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Are we ready to receive God's favor? Are we ready to proclaim the reason for the season and not just wear our pins? Jesus is the reason for the season. There's nothing wrong with the pins, but why are you wearing it? Are you ready to explain why Jesus is the reason for the season? We haven't set it apart for any pagan rituals. If you have a tree, it's beautiful, but don't worship the tree. Don't worship the lights. Admire the technology God's given us to have the lights. Admire his creation of the tree. Lord, we thank you for all you've given us, but most of all for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this season. Let the celebration of Jesus' birth be first and foremost, before any gifts, before any dinners, before, I'm not even going to say that. No stress. You understand? No stress. It is not the season to stress. There are no songs that say, "Tis the season to stress." No. It's the season to acknowledge the birth of our Savior. And you almost can't mention the birth without mentioning his life, death, resurrection. Amen? Glory to God. Proclaim it this season. The Savior has come, and he is coming back. We don't see him as a little baby, but we're just celebrating his birth. Oh, come, who? Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us. He sees and knows everything. And it's okay. He still loves us. He sees the good. He sees the not so good. It's okay. Joy to the world. We have to show the world what joy, true joy, is in the Lord. Why do we raise our hands? Why? The original language tells us it's a power source. Our open, outstretched hand. It's a power source connection. We're not in church just raising our, woo! We're not, no. In the original language, it says open, outstretched hand. Power source. Ooh, straight to the heart. Comes to the heart. The world needs to know why we have joy, not why we have stress. Joy to the world. Fall to your knees. How many of you can tell I'm taking lines from Christmas songs? Oh, thanks. Someone's following me. Fall to your knees. Fall to your knees and just worship. Just be present in Him. Don't be in a hurry to get up every time. Call your spouse with you. Would you fall on your knees with me? And you don't even have to talk. You can just be there in the presence of the Lord. We're in too much of a hurry nowadays. I used to be right there. He taught us to love one another. But I believe the church has forgotten what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It hopes the best, yes. Love one another. Go rediscover love. Amen. No matter what position we hold in this life, we are sisters and brothers in Christ. We are to love one another. Christ is the Lord. Praise His name forever. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Peace on earth. This world is trying to condition us to be at contention on this earth. Ill will toward men. But we as believers can show the world that is not the way it's done. Stand strong. Stand tough. Be long-suffering. In the middle of long-suffering, if you look it up in the original language, is joyful expectancy. A lot of times our expectancy is, I just need them to straighten up. I need them to get on my side. I need them to agree with me. Long-suffering is understanding where the other person's coming from, praying for them. When the opportunity comes, talk. Amen? What's in the middle of long-suffering? A little bit louder. Joyful expectancy. So when we're going through those hard seasons, Lord, my hope is in you. My assured confidence is in you. It's not in the other person. They can't handle it right now. So I joyfully expect you to work this out. Amen. Again, He turns coal into diamonds, sand into pearls, worms into butterflies. Surely He can do awesome and tremendous transformative work in our hearts, in our lives. Amen? So this Christmas, be filled with peace. Be filled with joy. Be filled with love. Be filled with the expectancy that can only come from God. I'm going to close with a reading. I recommended this book Friday. It's called Finding Our Way Back Home, Rediscovering a Biblical Worldview by Dr. John A. Looper. And I just want to close reading this short portion. Of a truth, Jesus also came additionally to do more than to atone for and to destroy the works of the devil. He also came to regenerate and restore what had been destroyed, which brings us to the third and continuing work of Messiah, restoration. Amen. Sin broke it down for us, but Jesus came for restoration, no matter what. Thank you, Lord. Let me hear a good thank you. Thank you. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus declared to Peter and the apostles, on this rock, Petra, I will build. He would restore by building or to rebuild, to repair His church. We are repairable. We are not hopeless. We have to stand strong. In this context, he was fulfilling and revealing the last messianic command of the Tanakh to go up to Jerusalem, to go up to rebuild the house of the Lord that had fallen down. Jesus came to build or restore what church? The one he started, not man, with the 12 tribes of Israel in the wilderness. So we are restorable, but we have choices to make. Will you make that choice today? Whatever those places are in your heart, would you shout a big hallelujah? Would you open the door and say, Jesus, come in. I need your light. Your light is the only sustaining light to get rid of whatever it is that doesn't belong there. Be encouraged today and celebrate this season with great joy. People are watching. People are waiting. They want, our young people want sincerity. They want to know we're real. God is real. Jesus is real. Holy Spirit is real. It's our reality. Let us stand. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to our podcast here at Life in Christ Fellowship in Newport, Vermont. We hope that you have enjoyed this message. And we encourage you to hit that subscribe button to continue updates on future messages each week. Feel free to share these messages of encouragement and edification to others.